Small Souls by Louis Couperus, translated by Alexander Teixeira de Matos. Small Souls is the first of a series of four novels describing the fortunes of the Van Loo family, and known in Holland by the generic title of the Books of the Small Souls. They are called The Later Life, The Twilight of the Souls, and Dr. Adrian. Chapter 1. It was pouring with rain, and Doreen Van Loo was tired out when, by way of a last visit, she dropped in on Carol and Cato just before dinner. But Doreen was pleased with herself. She had gone out immediately after lunch and had trotted and trammed all over The Hague. She had done much, if not everything, and her tired face looked very glad, and her bright black eyes sparkled.
"Have Mynheer and Mevrouw gone into dinner yet, Sintje?"
she asked, nervous and breathless, in a sudden fright lest she should be too late.
"No, miss, but it's just on 6, said Sintje, severely.
Doreen Van Loo whisked through the hall and rushed upstairs, forgetting to put her wet umbrella in the stand. She clutched it in one hand, together with her skirt, which she forgot to let fall. In her arm she held a parcel pressed close to her, under her cape. In the other hand she carried her muff and her old black satin reticule. With the same hand, making a superhuman effort, she felt for her pocket handkerchief and managed to blow her nose without dropping anything but 4 or 5 tram tickets, which flew around her on every side. Old Sintje followed her with her glance, severely. Then she went to the kitchen, fetched a cloth, silently wiped up a trail of rain and drops along the hall and staircase, and carefully picked the tram tickets off the stair carpet. Doreen walked into her brother's study. Carol Van Loo was sitting placidly by a good fire, reading. His smooth-shaven face shone pink and young. He wore his thick, glossy hair neatly combed and brushed into a fine tuft. He dyed his moustache black, and like Doreen, he had the black eyes of the Van Loos. His broad figure looked comfortable and well-fed in his spruce clothes. His waistcoat lay in thick creases over his stomach, and his watch-chain rose and fell with his regular breathing. He seemed calm and healthy, full of calculating prudence and quiet selfishness. He gently put aside the magazine which he was reading, as though he felt that he was in for it, that he would have to listen to his sister for a quarter of an hour at least. But he made up his mind to interrupt her pretty often. So he rubbed his large fat pink hands and looked at Doreen impassively, and his glance seemed to convey,
"Go on, I'm listening. I can't help myself."
Doreen stood near his writing table, which was in the middle of the prim room, while he remained sitting by the fire.
"I've been to all of them,"
Doreen began triumphantly.
"To Bertha?"
"To Bertha."
"To Gerrit?"
"To Gerrit."
"To Adolphine?"
"And to Ernst and Paul. I've been to all of them," said Doreen triumphantly, "and they've all promised to come."
"Doreen, would you mind putting your umbrella outside? It's so wet."
Doreen put her umbrella in the passage outside the door, and she now also let fall her skirt, the hem of which showed an edge of wet mud, at which her brother kept staring as though hypnotized.
"And what did Bertha say?"
he asked, pretending to be interested, but giving all his attention to the wet hem.
"Well, Bertha was very nice. I must say, Bertha was very nice,"
said Doreen, and the tears, always so ready with her, came into her dark eyes.
"She was very busy with the girls, drawing up the lists of invitations for Emily's wedding, and tomorrow they have one of their official dinners. But she said at once that if Mamma wished it, we must all of us obey her wish and go to Mamma's tonight, to meet Constance. And Van Nagel, who came in for a moment, said so too. Bertha never agreed with Mamma about encouraging Constance to come back to Holland, but now that things had gone as far as they had, she said she would look upon Constance as a sister again, quite as a sister."